All right, it's not as complicated as counting the vote in Florida, but more than a week after the 2012 election, we now know who lost the 2012 election. It's this guy.
It's explained to everyone when they sign, it's in writing with them when they sign, that it's a commitment while you're in the House or while you're in the Senate. If you run for a different office, you take it again. If you want to go to your voters and say, I promised you this and I'm breaking my promise, you can have that conversation with them, but you're not having an argument with me. You've made a commitment to your voters.
Grover Norquist there on CNN trying to get out of the fact that lawmakers, particularly Republican lawmakers, made an anti-tax pledge to Grover Norquist and their constituents, as he said, a pledge that they may be showing signs of breaking. Todd Zwillick, takeaway Washington correspondent. What's going on up there on the Hill?
Hey, John. Well, so often politics, like novels, is about characters, isn't it? And Grover Norquist is one of those characters inside the Beltway. And people are making quite a lot of hay out of the fact that a few Republicans in recent days, as other people work towards a fiscal cliff deal, are saying that they're not going to be bound by Grover Norquist's pledge at Americans for Tax Reform, which says you'll never vote to raise taxes or support any policy that does. Can I give you another example?
Sure.
Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, right here, who said over the weekend something similar. Listen to Lindsey Graham.
When you're $16 trillion in debt, the only pledge we should be making to each other is to avoid becoming Greece. I will violate the pledge, long story short, for the good of the country, only if Democrats will do entitlement reform.
Now, Todd, did Republicans get specific results from the election that suggest that this tax pledge was a reason why they didn't do so well? I mean, they actually did all right on some of the House races that were in the balance there. What are they looking at? What are they reading here, the tea leaves?
They did all right in a lot of House races. And in fact, all of these statements except for one or two that you're seeing are coming from senators, which is a far different political situation. Here's one thing that they do know. President Obama ran explicitly on a message. It wasn't implicit. It was explicit. Tax rates for the top earners should go up in this country. He said it over and over and over. And he contrasted it with, we're not going to talk about cutting Medicare and Social Security unless we're going to, while we're keeping taxes low for the wealthiest among us. That was explicit from the president, and he won. And in some ways, that's what this fiscal cliff, if you want to call that debate, is really all about. However, even though Grover Norquist is a popular character, villain to some, hero to others here inside the Beltway, I'm not sure how much these couple of senators running around saying they'll violate the pledge, John, really matters in the end. They're not making this deal. Keep in mind, this is not a regular bill. This fiscal cliff deal that we have to reach by the end of the year and then probably more dealing into next year, it's not going through committee and working its way through the system like in Schoolhouse Rock. This deal is going to be made between President Obama, Speaker John Boehner, Nancy Pelosi, and Harry Reid, and Mitch McConnell. They're going to make the deal, and then members will either vote on it or not. Take the deal or leave the deal. That's the bottom line.
Although the fact that Bob Corker, Republican of Tennessee, says he's not obligated to the pledge. Saxby Chambliss, Republican of Georgia, says he's not obligated. You mentioned Lindsey Graham there. Republican Peter King, representative in New York, had this to say.
A pledge you signed 20 years ago, 18 years ago, is for that Congress. For instance, if I were in Congress in 1941, I would have signed a supported declaration of war against Japan. I'm not going to attack Japan today. The world has changed.
So the world has changed, Peter King says. Is that also an indication that the GOP has changed in that to get out from underneath this Norquist pledge gives them more wiggle room, more negotiating room, more flexibility, more power ultimately?
There's no real indication that the GOP has changed as the result of this election, aside from these couple of voices that you're hearing. The speaker himself, John Boehner, is again repeating something that's familiar to you. We're going to use the debt limit again as leverage against Democrats in these negotiations. We demand spending cuts in order to raise the debt limit. That's not new thinking. That's just like you heard last year. The Republican leadership has not echoed this willingness to raise taxes. They have said revenue can go up if the tax code is played with in ways that are going to take a year to negotiate, but we will not tolerate any increase in rates. There's no agreement there yet. We've got a long way to go on this.
Hints from Capitol Hill, possible flexibility, we shall have to see. Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. Thanks so much.
Pleasure.
Do you have questions or concerns about the fiscal cliff and the politics behind it? Consumer confidence numbers were up today, so apparently a lot of you aren't too concerned about it. But do you know how the negotiations would have an impact on your life? Send us your questions. Todd Zwillick will be back with us tomorrow to answer them. Call us at 877-869-8253. That's 877-8-MY-TAKE. Or you can find us at facebook.com/thetakeaway.